Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new-to-you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. We are just back from a gorgeous family Easter break. We did something amazing. We drove, check this, all the way to Portugal in our electric vehicle. We went to a place called Castelo Branco to visit a place called Freedomville, which is a converted derelict village that has been converted into this gorgeous eco-resort run by a gorgeous family, a lady called Nadia, who I've had on the show. I'm going to be having her on the show again. But what was really amazing about it was we took our 10-year-old and our 5-year-old, and we drove from North Yorkshire all the way 1,500 miles on the train, took the car on the train and drove down to Portugal. So we stayed in France and we stayed in Spain and then we ended up in Portugal. It took us 2 days to get there with two night stops. We took 3 days to come back and had 7 days there. So it was an amazing holiday. It cost us 25% of what it would have cost had we have flown. And of course, we did our bit for the planet. So anybody out there with electric cars or even, you know, low emissions petrol or diesel cars, I would highly advise that kind of trip. It was amazing. Didn't get caught up in the hustle and bustle of these of short flights, which was extraordinary. So that was a lot of fun. And I'm feeling refreshed and sun-kissed and, you know, quite excited about the spring that I've come back to in the UK. And that leads me nicely on to today's show, because spring is in the air. You may have noticed the bees, the birds singing, the insects are starting to come out. And this is where we really get to today's guest. We've had this guy on before. He's so fascinatingly interesting that I really wanted him to come on again today, partly because of the time of year and secondly because I know a lot has gone on in this gentleman's life in the last year. We had him on in August last year, and so it was nearly a year ago. But, you know, this is the show, UK Health Radio, Lean Into Clean, where we meet the people who are not just talking about change, but living it. And today's guest is definitely one of them. He's a man who quite literally turned a life-threatening moment into a life's mission. Howard Carter. He writes regularly across the press, from peer-reviewed journals to The Times, pharmacy publications, and leading health magazines, and you'll often hear him sharing his expertise on the BBC and independent radio. So this is no new space for him, that's for sure. But what makes his story so powerful is actually where it began. Now, after contracting malaria and dengue in the same year, Howard didn't just recover, he reinvented his path, becoming one of the UK's foremost experts in mosquito and tick bite prevention. He's now the founder and inventor of Incognito Insect Repellent, which you will have seen in many, many high street stores and all across the internet if you're looking for a natural deterrent to mosquitoes. He's leading the charge on non-toxic protection and overseeing product testing with the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine and beyond. Before that, he was deep in the world of science, running quality assurance and control laboratories, skills he's used to develop and invent most of the Incognito products we see today. And this isn't just about bites, this is global. So, with over 4 billion people at risk of dengue, Howard is now on a mission to raise awareness and help protect lives cleanly, consciously, and effectively. And just to top it off, when he's not changing the game in public health, he's competing on the world stage in table tennis, which I love. My wife calls it ping pong. I'm sure that's not the real name. Having played in two world championships in the veterans category and just this weekend competing in the UK's Western Masters national tournament. So this is a man who understands precision, resilience, and purpose. Howard Carter, welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean.
Thank you, Jarvis. It's lovely to be here. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, no, first of all, let's just find out how'd you get on in the tournament?
No, not my best tournament.
Ah.
I'm coming back to the national level because I had an injury last year. So I'm back, but I did win a couple of matches. I mean, it's incredible. The Swedes they were the only country that touched the Chinese in the back in the day. And they're just incredible, these 60-year-old Swedes that would wipe the floor with me. But
Oh,
I
really?
yeah,
It's
definitely.
a fast game, isn't it? I mean, you
Oh
must be
yeah.
very good at swatting insects, with that paddle speed. I know that's not the way to do it, but I'm sure the two skills come in quite handy.
Yeah, no, they def that's very true. I do catch them, and I caught one in the house just a couple of months ago, which was probably it was the first mosquito, female mosquito we saw this year. I just want to st just you had me on in August last year. There wasn't that many. It was a very low year for mosquitoes and other biting insects, because in April and March last year, there was the mosquitoes had she'd laid her eggs, 100 or 200 in the water, in stagnant water, like rain puddles, but bottle caps even. And she they turned into those eggs turned into larvae, and they were happily swimming around, waiting to sort of turn into nymphs. But because of the extraordinarily high temperatures of those 2 months, their homes literally evaporated.
Dried
So,
up, yeah.
yeah, so there was no nymphs flying. They died in the water, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But this year they've come back with an a vengeance. But last year you may have noticed that there wasn't so many bites. If you normally get bitten, you maybe got less than other years. Well, you wouldn't have got any if you're using Incognito, but but a lot of people in the UK don't worry about being bitten, which is fine.
Yeah.
Although every time you do get bitten, it's a bit selfish because the female lays another 200 eggs, and people that do mind or have an allergic reaction, they definitely don't like it, and it's something that can even sort of take people to A&E. It's quite serious. So you're doing your bit for them, your fellow countrymen and women, if you do protect yourself and stop yourself getting bitten, even though you might not mind it.
Well, this is just in the UK, right? But most people, I say most, a lot of people will be traveling abroad, into countries where I guess the bites are, well, I mean, let's just look at the kind of, because we possibly underestimate mosquito bites as a nation, but how serious are they globally?
Oh,
Let's
wow. I
just
mean,
get into the problem,
it's next. I
first.
mean, the Baker Institute in the States and many other global forecasting, respectable organizations, they say that mosquitoes are the next pandemic, the Baker Institute. And that's a sort of as accurate that you can get on pandemics.
I read a line the other day when I was doing a bit more research on you. It's the biggest killer to humanity.
That's right. Yeah, it kills more people than it's killed. More mosquitoes have killed, well, the diseases that they carry. One species, Anopheles gambi, that carries malaria. They have killed more people than all the wars put together. And then when you consider it to like, when you consider them to, I don't know, all the animals, think of all the animals that could kill you, a
Yeah,
tigers,
yeah.
lions, sharks. It's like less than 1%, all of those compared to less than 1% of those deaths compared to mosquitoes in any given year. They are the most dangerous animal on the
So
planet.
this is so let's just be clear that the severity of this in terms of how serious are they globally, it is the biggest killer to humanity. So that's how important it is. So there's the problem right there. I would argue that, and I'd love to hear your comment on this, that humans are not living particularly well on planet Earth at the moment. We've seen this degree of increase in disrespect for nature, in abuse of fossil fuels, in abuse of rising carbon emissions, etc. Is this possibly nature's way of keeping the numbers down? Or I mean, quite an interesting paradox
Yes,
there,
I've
isn't
given
it?
it a lot of thought, and especially at the start, and I did realize that, this amount of, I mean, we're talking over 1 million deaths a year.
Yeah.
Thinking, well, maybe they are, maybe whoever's put them on the planet, they've evolved to keep humans sort of a bit in check. But of course, with 7 or 8 billion people on the planet now, they're not having that much of an indent,
No.
a dent. But it's still, 1 million is a lot, and it means that when you go abroad, one goes abroad, that you have a high chance, a higher chance. And if you go to some areas, I'll give you an example, I'll give you quote some figures, like 36% of Sri Lankans contracted dengue fever a few years ago, and
36%.
36%. And
Wow.
and there was a huge sort of powwow with the Director General of the World Health Organization and Sri Lankan scientists, experts from all over the world. I was lucky to be invited to Parliament to meet with all of them, and they were talking about this pandemic on the or this onslaught on the horizon, but it was already happening. I mean, look at French Reunion Island. That's the best. If you look at the moment, that's the one that has the most. I think that had nearly half. I mean, you'd have to look it up. But it's French Reunion Island. The majority of the population had contracted. Was it dengue or was it chikungunya? There's so many diseases. Now I get the figures mixed up a bit. You've got chikungunya on the rise, West Nile virus on the rise. By the way,
What's chikungunya? What's that?
chikungunya is sometimes called the African stooping disease, because when you get bitten by a mosquito that carries it, it really affects all of your muscles and your limbs, and you sort of start to slouch, and it's horrible disease. Quite a few of my friends have had it. It rarely kills, but it can cause problems for life. You can be sort of twisted skeletally. So
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you want to contract. The same with West Nile virus. West Nile virus does kill, and in fact kills well over 1,000 people every year in the States. America's getting quite now really bad. Malaria's returned. Dengue's now on a firm foothold in America. So these all of these diseases are spreading at quite a rate. Chikungunya is also very painful. Like a lot of these diseases, dengue is, used to be called break bone fever, and that's how it felt when I contracted it. Felt like every bone in my body was broken. It's not something I wish to repeat.
No, I want to get into your personal story, and we will go back to that. But just whilst we're on the subject of the problem, which I think is good to stay here for a minute, is are things getting worse with climate change and and global travel and with all of the geopolitical chaos that's going on in the world? I mean,
Definitely, definitely.
and
I mean, because
how do
wars are
they?
also a factor. If you've got climate, poor wars, and poor sanitation, these are all drivers for mosquitoes. They thrive in these type of situations. And you've got a number of conflicts around the world. I mean, we had to donate. We didn't have to. We chose to donate. I can't remember the amount, but it was about 1,000 bottles, I think it was, to the Ukrainian army
Oh, yeah.
that had the Russians blew up a bridge and it flooded. Ended up, this was a dam connected to the bridge, ended up flooding this whole area. And there was 1,000 odd troops there, and they were getting eaten alive. So we, through my brother actually, Nigel, we sent off a whole load of lotion to the troops to protect them. So it's growing at an exponential rate, a lot of this, and which is why I've also started this charity called DAP, the Dengue Awareness Program, with Mahidol University, with the help of Mahidol University in Thailand. The faculty of tropical medicine there is very good. They do some of our research as well as the London School of Hygiene Tropical Medicine.
Nice,
That's
nice, nice, great. So, okay, let's talk about your personal story. I want to, you are really a purpose-driven activist, and business leader. Now you're at the top of your game in terms of knowledge. But this all started somewhere. It started with you nearly dying. Don't go away. We're going to cut to a commercial break. As soon as we finish that, we'll come back and hear Howard's personal story.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, I'm here with Howard Carter, who is an expert on insect deterrence bites. I just dropped the fact that he nearly died, which is actually what got him on this journey. Howard, tell us about that experience that put you onto this purpose-driven leadership role that you now play.
Well, the first time I went to India, back in 1998, I had never been to the tropics, in fact, and I was taking all the precautions necessary to protect myself against mosquitoes and malaria, because malaria is present in India, even though the travel doctor said I didn't need it because I was in a low-risk area, low-risk time of year. Still didn't want to get bitten, so I took a DEET-based product, not knowing that DEET mosquitoes had built up a certain amount of resistance to DEET, insect repellent, and which is why I did get bitten, even though I was using 100% DEET product some of the time. I was also taking antimalarials. Anyway, I got bitten. The antimalarials didn't work. They don't work 100%. They work about 90, between 85 and 95%. And I contracted malaria, and it was horrible. 5 months later, off I went to recuperate in Thailand. Always wanted to go there. 11-day trip. Came back with dengue fever, and ended up again in the Hospital of Tropical Diseases. One of the nurses even remembered me from like 5 months ago. So yeah, so from those life nearly dying from the dengue, I had a temperature of 104.1, being sort of pushed along under from UCL, which is the admissions unit for the Hospital of Tropical Diseases, and from there underneath the Marylebone Road or Gower Street, whatever it was, I was completely delirious at the time. I ended up in this glass unit, 360-degree glass, so they can observation. And I remember I was realized in between in a moment of lucidity in between the delirium, was they moved this emancipated woman out, attached to a drip, this young woman, put her out and then put me in. It was, yes, so not pleasant at
This was
all.
a special protection unit to really monitor everything that's going on.
Yeah, Cheryl Cole was in there, sort of not the same time, 10 years later, when she nearly died
Oh
of
yeah, I remember that. I remember
yeah.
that. What are the biggest myths that people believe about insect protection? Because you were one of them. You're one of these people that has gone on holiday, took the kind of the tourism advice. Taking the malaria, I
Yeah.
remember taking malaria tablets once. I had nightmares every single night. It was horrible. It really messed with my psyche. I never did it again.
Well, that's changed now. They've used Malarone, which has much less side effects. But again, it works about 90%. It doesn't work completely. The myths are like Marmite, like, oh, you eat Marmite, vitamin B, garlic. These are all myths. The only way Marmite is going to protect you from mosquitoes if you're lathering it all over your body and using it as a barrier method. So it's those are the main myths.
A lot of people, natural people talk about, and that's what I love about your product, because we try and be organic, we try and be as natural as possible. But a lot of people talk about citronella, don't they? And putting that on because it's smelly. And is that known to
Well,
work on
that's not
its
a
own?
myth. I mean, it is an actual bona fide insect repellent, especially Java citronella. It's three times stronger. There's only two species. One grows everywhere, and the other grows on Java, which is at least three times more effective. That's approved in many countries, actually, as an insect repellent for 1 to 2 hours. I mean, two is being generous with it. The original formulation that I made up was the active ingredient. It was only 4 years after that I was able to make a formulation that was 100% effective. When we started the Java, with the citronella, it was 82% effective incognito spray. But now it is the active ingredient PMD, which comes from. It's actually made from, or can be synthesized from, steam distillated from Java or other citronella. And then from that, they hydrolyze, it's hydrolyzed, cyclized, and it's still natural because it's come from plant-based, 100%. But when you look at the bottle, it doesn't look very natural with all those chemical names. So, yeah, so
Well,
it's.
we'll talk about your products. I definitely want to get into that, particularly the part around being, often not only the inventor but also the tester. I mean, having nearly died once or twice,
Yeah.
you still go out and test them. So that must be quite an interesting experience.
Yeah, I have to be careful when I do have to be careful when I'm testing because if you get dengue fever twice or even the th third time, it's almost the probability is you will die. So I avoid getting bitten during the day using my products, but at night is when I do the majority of my testing. I oversee subjects, participants during the day, they go and get bitten on my behalf if I'm testing something. So I really can't afford to do that.
Got it.
Yeah, but I can, go into swamps where there's actually swarms of mosquitoes. I sometimes do this as with friends, just to show them, skeptical people. I said, "Oh, natural, nothing works that's natural, you know." And so watch this, you know. And off I go into a swarm at dusk, and not get a single bite, which I did with the midges in Scotland as well. Again, there was a certain amount of skepticism, so off I trotted into some people were looking pressed up against the windows of the cafes and the pub. This isn't a mad Englishman down there. But I didn't get a single bite, and there was I walked through a swarm. Like a couple landed in my hair, but not one of them bit me. I
Interesting.
spray incognito into the
I mean, I can
window.
absolutely personally testify that the products work. And yeah, we've been all over the place, but actually notice there's a lot more midges now in the north of England and
Yes.
definitely Scotland. We do get them. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, I play cricket on a Wednesday night during the summer. It's by the river. The midges are quite rife. And, you know, the guys always laugh at me because I always smell, you know, lovely. But I'm the one that doesn't get bitten because I've got your product on.
Yeah,
We're going to talk about the
the
product.
bite is on the individual, the other individual. We've come up with this new system because what I learned from the head of vector control at the London School of Hygiene Tropical Medicine, Dr. Nigel Hills, that sadly is no longer with us. He taught me that how you wash dictates your attractiveness, influences, and it's what you wash with, really, is what he was talking about. If you're using ordinary soaps and shower gels, then you're going to attract them to you. Those products by themselves, you can just put them on a park bench and you will see insects come towards them.
Oh, really?
A bit like bees to a lavender
Yeah.
plant. And other insects. So what we've come up with is this simple step system for people, because people are at different risks. Some people are very attractive. Some people don't get bitten at all.
Yeah,
That's
yeah.
because they have a natural repellent in their blood. You can see more about read more about this on my blog, avoidingbites.com, if you wish. But to prepare your skin initially is so important, and that means using, like I did when I was in Scotland, soaps are, there's a special soap that works really well on the midges when you use it in conjunction with a repellent, a spray or a cream, whatever. And then there's a hair and body wash that I formulated, and that is a godsend, really, to many people. It's now available as a sort of cabin. We've made it into a. It's so popular, but you know, we're very ethical, so we made 200 ml bottles for people, good value. But then they couldn't take it on cabin level.
Because you can't travel with them.
That's right. So we put it into a 100 ml bottle, and when you so that's step one. And if you're super attractive, use a loofah with it, or we even do a loofah soap, and that reduces considerably your attractiveness, because only a loofah has microscopic hairs which can clean out the detritus in skin pores, and by removing that food source, back skin bacteria can't poop out a really attractive chiromone, which is what insects use to or to lock onto for their hosts. So that's the number one for the simple step system. Number two is apply a repellent. We do a number of repellents now. We do a kids' version as well, which still works 100%, just hasn't got the camphor in it. We do creams, we do a lotion, we even do a sun cream repellent, which is very high SPF, SPF 30, which is virtually the same as 50, 1% difference in efficacy. But that works, that's being tested by the London School Hygiene Tropical Medicine to give 5 hours protection from insects. So when I'm, you know, I spoke about earlier, not I can't be bitten during the day, it's too risky. So when I'm out in the testing, working in the tropics, I use that, and it's fantastic. I don't get, but I return just as white as I went out. So it's a bit not so good on the old if the tan. So then layer. Number three is like there's four steps, and number third, if you are again, if you're you know you want extra protection, you're going to the jungle, Amazonian jungle, or even the Maldives if you're lucky enough. Then there's bracelets. We have I've invented this wooden bracelet which has a capsule and you a chamber. You put the chamber, you put the capsule in the chamber, and that gives you a good level of protection when you're using it with the other two steps. And then there's an after sun cream. So that's the third level or layer. And then lastly, in this simple step system is after bites. What happens if you haven't used any insect repellent? There's a zappies, you click a device, click it on the bite 4 or 5 times. That's it. Takes away the urge to
Yeah,
itch.
I used one recently. I got bitten on. I hadn't ha didn't have your product on actually, because we didn't take any away with us
But
stupidly. But I did have
you
my
got
zappies
reminded
with.
by the mosquitoes.
Yeah, I was, I was, and I got, I had a got bitten right in the back of my knee, which is an itchy little spot, and I used the zappies, and I never thought about it again. And
Good.
it was, yeah, so I did use that, which was absolutely brilliant. So yeah, I mean, this is a full maintenance program,
It
isn't
is.
it?
I'm
For
giving you, I mean, the health, your listeners are getting the they're getting the full enchilada here. That also the Zappies reduces swelling and inflammation, and there's incense sticks as well, special citronella incense sticks, and even a room refresher. You open up the lid, and it will permeates out into the room, small room, and that's it. No bugs coming into your room. So this is why this simple step system, is now we've now launched it. And there's a pyramid on it, starting from the bottom, which is the preparing your skin, to the plying repellent, layering up. And so people need this. Some people, want to go abroad to areas even like France and Italy, where dengue is autochthonous now, which means you can contract it locally. That it's actually there every summer. The in and not only that, it's even now in Portugal. I think you were just in. I think you travelled through Portugal, didn't you?
No,
On
we were in Portugal, yeah. We spent most of our time in Portugal, yeah.
So this February, it became autochthonous in for the first time. So you can contract it locally, whereas in the UK, to contract something, it has to be brought back in at the moment. But we have the mosquitoes here. We have the Asian tiger mosquito here now, and last August, just after I think I was on, the Aedes aegypti was the they're the most dangerous. There's the most of them. Was discovered near Heathrow. Obviously, somebody had brought them back, and but they've actually were found 2 years earlier. But Public Health England didn't publish that. They don't seem There seems to be a lag of at least 18 months before this information gets published. So when it's dangerous, I think they like to keep it under their hats, because they don't want panic, especially around Kent. This corridor, the M20 from Kent, is where a lot of mosquitoes, Asian tiger mosquitoes, are found, more than anywhere else in the country. But they're even in London now, spotted
And
there.
how so is how are they getting here then? They're coming, are they eggs that are
Well,
being
they
laid
might
on
be coming
people?
in Teslas, that I've driven to the, and they've come in our cars. They come on people's luggage. They
Got
can even
it.
float over in the stratosphere. They can get blown over. One of the most common is more containers, like car tires that are in, there's water collecting, stagnant water. That's the main. But people are bringing them. But they're here every year, and because it's warmer, they're able to sort of they're over they haven't over we're not sure if they overwinter at the moment. But I mean, the African hornet has overwintered, and that's caused huge problems for bee populations, on top of all the pesticides and neonicotinoids, whatever, I can never pronounce that word. The bees are under a lot of pressure. All the good insects under pressure, and then the bad ones are on the th are thriving.
So it's interesting. It's a bit of a reflection of life, isn't it? It's a bit of a reflection of our human model. All the bad ones are taking over from all the goodies. But anyway, look, let's go and play one of your songs, I always ask my guests to give us a couple of songs that are soundtracks to their lives, and you've chosen a couple of crackers. Tell us the first song we're going to play, Howard, and why you've chosen it.
Well, I've chosen A Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell because it's all about the losing nature. It's like concreting over a parking lot. It's like concreting over, I mean, look at New York. I mean, all you've got there is you've got like Central Park. But we're lucky in London because there's a number, and in England, there's a number of green spaces. But this song is all about, and it's from the 60s, when there was a lot of, a lot of accurate forecasting that, we are in trouble. Look, take note, the hippies and going to Woodstock, they had a strong, they had a very strong message. And people like Satish, what's his name?
Satish Kumar.
Yes, Satish Kumar, who started Resources, was it? No, that magazine that was all about sort of helping the environment. And that's, and I had this epiphany, as you know, one day I woke up and I can't go on like this. Can't be driving petrol. I need to get electric, need to do this. And I was one of the first, one of the first adopters, early adopters of electric vehicles.
Satish Kumar, by the way, it was Resurgence,
Thank
his
you.
magazine. Which is one of the very, very early adopters of ethical lifestyle magazines. So let's play your Joni Mitchell song. We'll go straight to a commercial break, and we'll be back with Howard straight after. Enjoy this as much as we will.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So great to hear that Joni Mitchell song. It's an absolute classic. I do miss music that has a bit of activism about it. I mean, artists back in the day, particularly the big ones, the greats, the Beatles, the Marleys, the Joni Mitchells, people like that, they always had a, really important, not always, a lot of the time they had a really important song and a really
They
important
influenced
message.
so many of us, and that's, I think, that song particularly. She talked about the put away the DDT, which was the first big sort of pesticide, which was written about by Rachel Carson. She wrote this book called Silent Spring, and on the bottom of our letterhead, because it influenced me so much, we have a quote from the book. It is ironic to think that man might determine his own future by something so seemingly trivial as the choice of an insect spray.
Interesting.
And
I
it's.
remember I was in Sardinia a couple of years ago, and I was doing a bit of research just on the history and stuff like that. And I came across this information that I think it was the Rothschilds, but certainly one of these big empires, they'd use the island Sardinia as the testing ground for the dengue repellent. And it literally took like it, I don't know. Do you know anything about this? I mean, it might have been false information I was
I think you
reading,
might
but
be
it was.
talking about the genetic, the way that they've used genetically modifying mosquitoes so that they don't mate. And they did a big, I know all I know is about Florida, where they initially one of the test countries or states, and they did stop a lot of mosquitoes, I'm sure, from mating. But malaria returned the same year. I shouldn't laugh because it's.
Yeah, I think they use Sardinia as well as one of the
Yeah,
testing grounds
that
to
sounds
test.
like that does sound, it does sound like it. But there's so many. I mean, like in my business, there's DEET is a pesticide, classed as a pesticide. It
That was
kills.
it. It was DEET. That was the, sorry, it was the test that they did for DEET. Sorry, that was it.
And it is causing so many problems because it's washed away in the underdeveloped countries, especially. It's washed into sewage systems where there isn't necessary sewage systems, and it's kills fish, kills aquatic wildlife. It doesn't degrade for like for about 100 years. It's something that people are using less and less. And why would you use something? Yes, it's cheap, but why would you use something that kills aquatic wildlife when you could do the same job with something natural for a few bob more?
Well, this is the message we are absolutely getting across to our listeners. And we're speaking to millions of people here, Howard, and I think anybody listening now is going to be going, yeah, we know about DEET, but normally it's the only thing you can get on the shelves. You go into some of the commercial high street supermarkets and pharmacies, etc. Unfortunately, you're going to see that DEET loaded jungle fever or whatever it might be. And what we're categorically saying to everybody now is, do not buy this product. It is a health and toxic to you, to your kids, to nature, to wildlife. But let's look at the alternatives. I was just looking at your website, Howard, the website for anybody out there that's listening, and I really do encourage you to go to the site and get some of these products. Sorry. First of all, there's a 25% discount on there. I've just noticed. There's loads of information on the site, so you can actually do a little quiz for yourself about the kind of customer that you might be and what's gonna work best for you. But most importantly, is this 25% discount if you multi-buy now. On the basis that most people use these products more in the summer, if they were to buy something this year, Howard, does it last till next year? I mean, what's the longevity of these products?
Well, the spray, the biocides, the spray, the cream, the lotion, the kids, I mean, they last a long time. They last, it's very stable. The PMD molecule is very, it lasts for 2 years from the state, from the time you have the first spray, and then further 3 years when it's in the bottle. So at least 5 years you've got.
Amazing. So if people get it now, and the website, by the way, is Less Mosquito. It's lessmosquito.com. The product is incognito, which is obviously it make it, we always laugh about it because we spray it on and we're like, oh, we're incognito now. And we go out and kind of my wife and I mess around and become incognito with each other, not just the mozzies and the bugs.
It does camouflage that. Hence, then that's why we named it Incognito. It stops people being seen.
That's how it works, isn't it? So you it basically makes you, once you spray it on, it makes you invisible to the mosquito, or the bugs can't pick you up, right?
That's true. They can't pick up your chiromones, your attractants. But the with the but with DEET, of course, it kills the actual animals that it's trying. I mean, it has killed humans. It's a nasty, nasty
It's
stuff.
a
Yes, it does work, but at what price? What
yeah.
price the
Yeah.
environment?
Well, I think that I've certainly noticed, Howard. You've been in this game a long time, so have I. I mean, we've been championing sustainability and ethical products and buying sensibly, leaning into clean, which is the name of the show.
20
We've been
years.
championing
20
that for
years.
tw
It's our
20 years.
20th anniversary for us. It must be for you as well.
We're just under you. I think you started just a little bit before us. So we're on about 18 years now, I think, as long as we've been champ. I mean, you must be very proud. Tell me, 20 years on, Howard, any regrets?
Not really. No. I've got the sun one to talk about this as well. But no, I haven't really. I haven't made the sort of money I'm capable of, but that's okay. I have a really good time. I've helped n numerous people all around the world. We give 10% of profits to charities, as you know. We're a sustainable company. Oh, we're waiting to hear whether we've been. Actually, I can't even say it on the radio. No, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
Spoiler alert. It's
Sustainable development, but this goes out live, so
No,
I can't
it
talk
does. It
about our
does.
sustainability for another month or so.
Well, let's talk about stuff that you can talk about. So,
Okay.
well, yeah, you, the, what's the, what's this the silent, what's it called? The silent spring. What's that?
Silent Spring is a quote from Silent Spring is a book written by Rachel Carson, who sadly. She actually died from cancer. She worked in the actual environmental world, and she was doing absolutely everything she could to take care of the planet and nature. And yeah, so that's how that came about. It was all written because of her experience of DDT. And it's called Silent Spring because one morning she woke up and there was just silence, no birds sing, tweeting, nothing. And she just, it suddenly, she realized, oh my God, can't go on like this. There's going to be no birds.
It
And if
dawned on
there's
her
no
that,
birds, no insects, then there's the reason why is because the DDT was killing the insects, which fed the birds, and then you just move up the food chain. So
and
it.
we're at the worst, most kind of critical time in human history, right now, aren't we?
We certainly are for animals and nature. It's at as you say, it's critical. More conflicts. I mean, more. I mean, look at that deep sea drilling that I think Trump's just signed off for Alaska for the deep. Is it? Which, of course, again, is that's going to protect another pristine environment, maybe the last wilderness. The
Well, there's a big global land grab, challenge on, isn't there? Land grabbing is all of the countries that have got these rare, precious minerals and oil and et cetera, et cetera. There's this big global land grab going on. I don't want to get into the negative because there's so much of it out
Yes,
there,
let's
but
talk positive.
well, let's get your second song in because I think that's going to be really important. And then Howard, that will play for, probably around 3 minutes or so. Then we've only got a few minutes left to the end of the show. So what I want you to think about is a closing statement that you want to leave with our listeners after this song. But tell us, first of all, the song you're going to play.
The song is by Talk Talk, and it's Life What You Make It.
Life's What You Make It by Talk Talk. Lovely. And Howard, we're going to hear this moment from you as the global leader, giving us an ounce of your wisdom for everybody to take home with them for their week. But enjoy this song first. Ah, what a lovely song. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So, Howard, this is your moment. You've suddenly been elected to the global leader of this universe, and everyone is going to listen to your words of wisdom because they know that you are the mosquito bite king.
Prevention king.
Prevention king. Prevention king.
It's choice. The word that springs to mind is choice. And I actually read a book called Choice, and it's choose happiness, choose life, kindness, and care for each other, along with the only planet we humans live on.
Beautiful. What a lovely moment to end on. Howard, thank you so much.
Thank you for
What I
having me.
love about this is that it's not just about avoiding a bite, it's about rethinking how we protect ourselves without harming ourselves and the planet. And this is what Lean Into Clean is all about, solutions that work with nature and not against it. So if you're traveling, if you've got kids, if you care about your health, this is one conversation you'll want to revisit. Howard, thank you very much and for leaning into clean with us. Greatly appreciated. He's giving me a prayer rather than saying thank you, but
But is it's a
just
thank you. It's
no,
a thank
I know,
you.
but no one could hear
Oh yeah. Duh, no.
So
I'm
he's saying
already
thank you with a prayer. Thank you, Howard. We
my
really, really appreciate
ADD
it.
is already on the next thing. I've got to tell such and so about this interview. I've got to do
Go and
this
speak to
and
the
that. No.
sun and get even
No.
more awareness out there for everybody. Thanks everyone for everybody that's been listening. Do look out for that product Incognito. Go to lessmosquito.com. Get your products now because now's the time you're really going to need them. And this has been an absolute pleasure for me. I'm Jarvis Smith. We're going to end the show with Save the World by Yours Truly featuring Rita Mora, raising money for the most affected children around the world with Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Futures movement. Have a great week. Look after yourselves and don't get stressed about all this stuff that's going on in the world. What will be, will be. Let's be happy.